Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us on this day before Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for sticking with us throughout the entire year. For those of you that still listen to us over the course of pandemic, when there were no sports going on, that was a real test. You know, the pandemic hit in mid-March and college basketball went away and the NBA went away and the NHL went away and baseball went away. And we had no games to talk about for about 3 months. And for those of you that stuck with us, listening to us day in, day out, even though there were no games to break down, well, we appreciate that very, very much. So in a thankful season, a season of gratitude, that's what I give thanks for. Everybody that makes this part of their morning every single day, everybody that claims to be a D-alien, that believes in the show, that enjoys the show, that thinks about the show, that consumes the show, I thank you for all of that. And I really thank those that said, well, you know what, even though there's no sports going on, I'll still listen to this sports talk radio show. That's pretty cool. And we had many of you that did that. That was really, really cool. Thank you. Speaking of giving thanks, I mean, of course, we're a totally appreciative crew around here. And so coming up in 20 minutes, we'll talk about what annoys us about Thanksgiving. It's going to be a Thanksgiving Trash Tuesday, think of it as. We'll put up on the podium the things that bug us most about Thanksgiving. Also, Amy Trask is going to join us on the show. She'll join us next hour. CBS Sports NFL analyst, longtime executive in the NFL. She's going to drop on by the show coming up next hour on the program. In 40 minutes, by the way, Super Dave is going to join us. There is a real opening here to take down Mraz. Mraz had another rough week last week, 0-3. 0-3 last week. So the door is open for Super Dave to bust on in and to seize control of this race. Mraz has made his picks via his Up the Gut column, which I will read through when we have Super Dave coming up on the show later on in this hour so that we have all of the picks documented. But remember, if Super Dave beats Mraz, we get to choose the book that he reads and he has to do a book report on it, which you know is the end of days for Mraz. Yesterday, the NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalist class was announced. The semifinalists were announced, and this will be whittled down to a group of 15. This is a group of 25. It'll be whittled down to a group of 15, and then somewhere between 4 and 8 of the final 15 will be voted in on the weekend of the Super Bowl. Here are the 25, okay? I'm going to give you the list of the semifinalists, and then you can in your head say, okay, that's a Hall of Famer, that's not a Hall of Famer, he belongs in, he doesn't, etc. This is all in alphabetical order. Corner Eric Allen of the Philadelphia Eagles and New Orleans Saints of the 90s. Pass rusher Jared Allen of the Chiefs, Vikings, and Bears. Offensive lineman Willie Anderson of the Bengals. Rondé Barber, Tiki Barber's brother, who was on that 0-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense that won the championship. Cornelius Bennett, linebacker of those Bills teams of the 90s. Offensive lineman Tony Boselli of the Jaguars. Safety of the 90s Green Bay Packers, Leroy Butler. Guard, offensive lineman, Pittsburgh Steelers and Jets, Alan Faneca. Safety, Rodney Harrison from the Chargers and the Patriots. You watch him on Sunday Night Football. Greatest show on turf, wide receiver, Torrey Holt. Megatron, Calvin Johnson, wide receiver, Lions. Safety for those Buccaneers teams, John Lynch. Peyton Manning, I think you've heard of him. Clay Matthews, who was one of the elder Matthews of the Matthews clan. He played linebacker for the Cleveland Browns and Falcons back in the 80s and 90s. Linebacker Sam Mills of the Saints and Panthers of the 90s. Richard Seymour, defensive lineman, Patriots and Raiders. Steve Tasker, special teams extraordinaire of the Buffalo Bills. Fred Taylor, running back, Jacksonville Jaguars. Zach Thomas, standout linebacker for the Dolphins back in the 90s and 2000s. Steelers wide receiver Hines Ward, Colts wide receiver Reggie Wayne, Niners wide receiver Patrick Willis, Raiders and Packers defensive back Charles Woodson, Cowboys safety of the dynasty years of the 90s Darren Woodson, and Niners defensive tackle interior lineman Bryant Young. Those are your finalists. From a coach's standpoint, we already have one of the semifinalists in, and that would be Tom Flores, who won two Super Bowls with the Raiders back in the early 80s. Here are the guys that you know are going to get in. Peyton Manning, absolutely obvious, first ballot, Hall of Famer, one of the greatest ever to do it. Which, by the way, is a little ticking of the clock on your stopwatch. It's been 5 years since Peyton Manning played football. 5 years since Peyton Manning played football. It's been that long already, 5 years. And so now he's eligible for the Hall of Fame. I think Charles Woodson gets in as well. This is his first time as a semifinalist, first time on the ballot. But I believe that Charles Woodson gets into the Hall of Fame. He retired 5 years ago as well after a tenure with the Raiders. But he was a standout for the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers won that Super Bowl in 2010. And Charles Woodson had an incredible career over the course of a decade and a half. Longevity, leadership. He was also versatile, could play corner and safety. Woodson was a phenomenal player. I think he gets in as well. I think those are your slam dunk guys. A guy that is on his first year on the ballot, but I believe deserves in, is Calvin Johnson. He only had a 9-year career. But let me just give you a little factoid. If you want to win a bar bet this weekend, or you just want it tomorrow as you're watching the Lions play football, if you want to have a little ammo in your holster for a little football conversation surrounding the Lions, Calvin Johnson played only 9 seasons in the NFL. One of Calvin Johnson's years is one of the best seasons ever for a wide receiver. He caught 122 passes for 1,964 yards. Okay, he was 36 yards shy of a 2,000-yard receiving season, something nobody's ever done. So he had 122 catches for more than 1,900 yards, nearly 2,000 yards. That Lions team went 4-12. But think about this. A wide receiver for a 4-12 team nearly caught 2,000 yards, nearly set the single-season receiving record. They were 4-12. They lost their last 8 games. You want to know who the running back was to take pressure off of a defense? Joik Bell. You want to know who the second leading receiver on that team was to roll double coverage away from Megatron? Brandon Pettigrew. I mean, think about that. A 4-12 team that lost its last eight games, whose top running back leading rusher was Joique Bell, and whose second leading receiver was Brandon Pettigrew, had a wide receiver that caught nearly 2,000 yards. Meaning every defense knew exactly what the Lions were going to do, and they were impossible to stop it. They could not figure out a solution to stop Calvin Johnson from catching a football. They could not figure it out. 2,000 yards on a 4-12 team. That man deserves a gold jacket. I also think that Jared Allen, if he does not get in this year, will get in. Jared Allen was one of the premier pass rushers of his era. This is his first time on the ballot as a semifinalist. He played for the Chiefs and was unbelievably productive there. Played for the Vikings, even more productive there, and then played his final two seasons with the Bears. I think Jared Allen will get into the Hall of Fame, maybe not first ballot, but I think that he ultimately is a Hall of Famer. Now, I think that there's some guys that have been on the ballot for a while who are somebody's going to get in here. There's going to be a dam broken for one of these guys that's been on the ballot for a while. Tony Boselli has been a semifinalist six times. He's gotten this far six times. Leroy Butler has been this far four times. Zach Thomas has been this far three times. I think one of those guys, or John Lynch, is going to get in. Lynch has been on this list nine times. I think it's going to break for one of those guys. I think one of those old-timers, and I say old-timer relatively speaking, I think one of those guys is going to get in. Torrey Holt has also been on this list seven times. So maybe from a wide receiver standpoint, they put in Torrey Holt this year and Calvin Johnson next year. I think the wild card in wide receivers is Reggie Wayne. Because Reggie Wayne was on the ballot last season. And I think Wayne ultimately gets in. Do they say this year for the Colts is a Peyton Manning year and next year is a Reggie Wayne year when it comes to Colts? I'm not sure. But I think that Reggie Wayne does belong in the Hall of Fame as well. But I think one of those older guys that's been on the list for a while is ultimately going to get in. And a guy that has a really interesting career is Rodney Harrison. Okay? Because Rodney Harrison played for two championship teams for the Patriots in 03 and 04. He was a physical guy. He was a very tough-nosed player for the Chargers as well, and seen at times as a dirty guy. Remember, he was the guy that laid out Trent Green in a preseason game, ripped up Trent Green's ACL in the preseason, opening the door for Kurt Warner, leading to the greatest show on turf in 99. Not only was Rodney Harrison known as a dirty player, he also was suspended for HGH, performance-enhancing drug. Had HGH sent to his house. Now, he's been on TV. This is his first time this far in the vote. Now, he's been retired for more than 5 years, so he's had a chance to get this far, and this is the first time. I'm interested to see how football uses PEDs versus baseball. We've seen baseball PEDs, that's your death note. Football, Antonio Gates is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, and he was a guy that got popped for PEDs. How long did it take Antonio Gates to get in? What will happen with Rodney Harrison's candidacy? Is this part of the reason he hasn't been this far until now? That's a really interesting thing. I think there's far more acceptance of PEDs in football than certainly baseball. And we never really had a PED generation where guys took it undercover, didn't get busted, and blew the record books out of the water, like Bonds and Clemens and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. So it doesn't have the same stain on the game. But we now have guys that have been suspended for PEDs that are Hall of Fame candidates. That's a different twist on things. Now, the NFL says character doesn't count. It's not like baseball. Character doesn't count, or O.J. Simpson would be booted out of the Hall of Fame, and a lot of other bad guys that are in the Hall of Fame, they would invoke the character clause. You can't do that in football. You're not supposed to say whether a guy's a bad guy or not. It doesn't matter. It's just football. But PEDs is not a character clause. That's a football thing as well. That's cheating the game as well. So Harrison's this far for the first time in his career. Does he get in, or is this as far as he gets because of something like that? When we come back here on the DA Show. Thanksgiving's a great holiday. It's football, it's food, it's family. But it also has its set of annoyances. We will list our biggest gripes with Thanksgiving coming up here next, and we're stunned to a news. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
Former Chiefs quarterback himself, Trent Green.
First thing I hear is you guys talking about food, so now I'm hungry.
How does chicken teriyaki with bacon on top sound?
It sounds good to me. I think it's one of those things. You add bacon to anything and it enhances it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Wait, Trent, did you say, with bacon? Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Having a home, that's hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. French onions and wolf bike.
Bacon.
Yesterday, my wife comes home with some of the groceries for a Thanksgiving dinner. We're hosting at our house. Small little gathering, just the six of us, but we are hosting, so... The Bourbon Belle brings home some onion straws, those little fried little onion delicacies that you can put on top of a green bean casserole, per se. And as I'm putting it away inside my cabinet, I'm looking at the onion and say to myself, French onion dip with bacon!
French onion dip with bacon.
And then I see the bacon that she has also brought home for some appetizers, and I say, with bacon!
With bacon.
And tomorrow, I encourage you as well to, as you look over your table worth of goodies and appetizers and pre-meals and full meals and post-meals and desserts, to remember all of the things that we here on the DA Show stand for. Laughter, knowledge, and stuffing our jowls.
With bacon!
We love food more than any other sports radio show ever. And how do I know this? Because I've worked in the field for 20 years. I've hosted a sports radio show for nearly that long. And we employ Meraz. Now, I love food. And I know my colleagues here, Bogues and Pete the Body Bilotti, Andrew Kaplan, I know that we love food quite a bit. I know that they love food along with me, but nobody has this kind of intimate relationship with food, this kind of like love affair like Meraz. And so when you combine Meraz, who is in many ways in sports talk radio, the LeBron James of food passion, along with what I feel is a dream team as well of myself and Bogues and Bilotti and Cap. Well, you just have one of the great rosters ever in sports talk history in terms of combining food with your daily sports talk. And so tomorrow when you look at that food, think about us. You may think about, with Mike. You might have some indigestion and think about Meraz eating a Pop-Tart to try to get the indigestion down. You may look at your spread of desserts and remember that Brad Heller is our dessert coordinator. We actually have somebody to advise us on the do's and don'ts around dessert. When you look at your uncle stuffing his face to where his belly is popping out over his jeans, you should think about Badlands Booker, our hero here on the DA Show, our competitive eater, who has told us He eats an Admiral's Feast from Red Lobster by himself as just one of his three meals on the day. That serves 4 to 6.
I did have my Admiral's Feast.
Okay.
Crunching and munching.
When you eat all your meat tomorrow, I want you to remember that we here on the DA show, for years before corporate litigation stepped in, hosted eating competitions, both hot dog and chicken. We've had wienership competitions. We've had chicken challenges. We had a former hero banned from the show for not eating Joey Chestnut. We don't speak about his name. Because he didn't eat on the show, we said, you're never allowed back on the show. We have put together a montage of Jody Mack nearly keeling over and collapsing, which is going to sound much like you after your fourth serving tomorrow night at halftime of Steelers and Ravens.
With Breakin'.
I want you tomorrow. When you take a scoop of the stuffing, and then maybe there's a little bit too much condensation on the pan or the spoon to say, a little wet, a little drippy. I want you, when the pork loin comes out, to say, get yourself a pork shoulder. I want you to remember that if anything bad happens tomorrow in terms of your internal plumbing, a simple Pop-Tart should clean things out and fix it. I want you on Thanksgiving to remember us here on the DA show, because we will remember you.
Oh!
You know what, Pete the Body Bilotti? We've also had Thanksgiving drafts here on the show where we have drafted our Thanksgiving meals or the best sides. We have actually done the reverse. But today we do something new. Today we are listing our Thanksgiving gripes. The Body, why don't you cue the Peanuts music? And lest us not forget that we actually have a legendary caller who coined himself the Gobbler, who would call up and merely gobble like a turkey before he made his sports talk point and then gobbled again and got off the air. He didn't do turkey takes. He didn't do Thanksgiving takes. He did sports takes. But he would just call up, gobble, do the sports take, gobble again, hang up, and nickname himself the Gobbler. These are the things that happen here on the show. You know, Andrew Bogish, I want to start with you. What is your biggest annoyance on Thanksgiving?
DA, I've got two for you. First of all, if you're serving cranberry sauce, whatever you want to call it, the only correct thing to serve is the gelatinous thing that comes out of the can that still has the can imprint on it. If you're doing anything other than that, adding other vegetable, any other fruit, reshaping it, using actual cranberries, you're doing it wrong. The only thing you do is you crack open that can, you shake out the cylinder of cranberry, whatever that is, you slice it up like it's meat, you serve it like that. You gotta do it only that way. My second gripe is with me. I'm 40 years old, DA. I've had many now, obviously less than that, but a large number of those Thanksgivings I've now been a responsible eater for, and I still cannot pace myself that I continue to fill up on appetizers and whatever's going on beforehand. I've been waiting all year for turkey and mashed potatoes, and I can't get myself hungry again by the time dinner comes out, where I want to have 7 plates of this stuff, and I can fight my way through like 1.5 before I need to check out. I gotta stop wasting calories on snacks before the big meal.
It's a problem for all of us. Coming out of the gates too fast, too hot.
Ugh.
You want to crush all the stuffed mushrooms. You want to do all of the appetizers. Then you get to the turkey. You're like, damn it, I wanted 3 servings of turkey. I can only do 1.5. Pete the Body Bilotti, in honor of all of these, why don't we give a gobble to all of the annoyances here about Thanksgiving? So give me 2 gobbles in honor of Bogish's gripes. Pete the Body, let's cue you up now. What's your Thanksgiving annoyance?
Well, here's my Thanksgiving annoyance. It's always a question and a debate, and really, I really don't care about it. Let's start with who's going to carve the turkey and how big are we going to carve the slices of the turkey. Just carve the turkey, all right? I don't care if you have a special knife. I don't care if you have five people doing it, one person doing it. Just carve the turkey so we can enjoy it. It's really a debate that no one cares about. I really don't care about carving the turkey and who does it and how it's done. Just prepare it. And we are thankful for that, and bring it to the table. That's all.
I like it. Miraz is out today, and so our friend Dave Shepard, a.k.a. Shep, steps in, the good Shepard, to be our producer today. And so, Shep, welcome to the DA show. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, DA. Thank you so much for having me. Great, fantastic point about the Miami Heat. You talk about the Bills Mafia, you're talking about the Heat Mafia. Very, very, very astute signing. And I'll tell you what, DA, the franchise, like any other, they do it better than anybody. You have guys like Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, you have guys like UD and Juwan Howard. We see it. They take care of their guys. That's why people want to go play there. So very good point on your part. By the way, DA, if I may say very quickly, Sean Mraz has no right to insult Andrew Bogus. I know you're playing the music loud, but he has no right to insult Andrew Bogus. Is he Howard Cosell, Bob Costas? Maybe not yet, but I would take his career along with 99.9% of my profession and be in his shoes.
So if you're totally lost on Shep's tapes,
get him out.
This was on about 45 seconds of why the Heat signed Bam Adebayo an hour and a half ago, and 2 years ago, Mraz questioned Andrew Bogus's career arc. So
which I had
update.
Forgotten about, but now it's back and I feel terrible again. So thanks, Shep.
Sorry about that.
I'm trying to be authentic.
I feel like you've been here since that happened with Sean too, Shep. You could have used it back then.
I know, but you guys played it on the show today, so I thought it was pertinent.
It's funny because basically you need footnotes with Shep's takes. It's like, okay, let me flip back. Okay, that was page 16 of the DA Show book. Okay, right, that happened. Okay, you need links with all of Shep's takes. All right, Shep, what are your Thanksgiving annoyances?
You know, DA, to be honest with you, I'm always going to keep it real with you. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday in the world. I think what seems habitual now is the fact that everybody needs to show their business online, whether it's social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, what have you. And I'm sick and tired of people showing their gratitude publicly. Gratitude is something private. It's something that shows humility. It's something that shows intimacy. You don't need to broadcast it to every single person you know and their friends. And that's the only grievance and annoyance I have with Thanksgiving. And by the way, DA, if you ever need an extra body at the table, don't ever hesitate to ask me because I love your company. I've loved meeting your wife in the past, and any friend of yours is a friend of mine. So please feel free to roll out the red carpet and invitation, and I will say yes in a heartbeat.
So,
you want to move in, Shep?
Well, I didn't go that far. I don't think DA wants me to move in with him,
but that's the logical next step. No. Great Thanksgiving dinner. So, why don't you just stay, Shep?
So, Shep, you just asked to be invited to my Thanksgiving.
I suggested. I didn't ask.
He said he would say yes if you asked.
Yes.
So, in your very gracious, understated way, you just asked to be invited over.
Oh, my God. Can I just peel back the curtain for a second? I know you didn't want to go here, but
no!
Okay, so anyone who knows you, you're as good as company off air as you are on air. I've had the pleasure of hanging out with you many times outside the doors and parameters of CBS, and I would take an offer in a heartbeat to do
Let's
anything
Let's slow down
with
on
you.
Many times.
Okay, three or four, but who's counting? I take an invitation to show... Okay, well, anyways, I don't have any grievances. That's the bottom line moral of the story. But, DA, anytime you want me over chilling with you talking sports, man, I take you up on it anytime. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
That sounds awesome.
Is this how you got your girlfriend, Shep? Did you go, you know, if you were to want to, like, have dinner with me, I would definitely go to dinner with you.
You know what? By the way, I got to add something for a second. I heard you guys clown on me the next day. I didn't take that lightly. I mean, all of a sudden, I became Jody Mack. I became the butt of the jokes. But let me tell you something. When you get back on air here, DA, and the new normal becomes the actual normal, can I bring Marika by and we can, you know, set this to bed?
Yes.
Yes, we would love to see
your supposed girlfriend, who you had to hold hostage to admit publicly is your girlfriend, then send us the video.
Well, I remember it a little differently, DA. I remember you guys backing me in a corner, and I had to prove and substantiate my validity to having a girlfriend, and I can't wait for the day when Marika walks in these CBS doors and says, I'm David Shepherd's and David Shepherd's only, and thank you for bringing me the proper adulation.
She was pretty resistant, though. She was kind of defiant in admitting it publicly, don't you? You kind of had to coax it out of her.
I don't know about that. Let's get her perspective sometime. Yeah, you've brought some beautiful women on your show, and you shouldn't make an exception for Marika.
Well, I would love to meet your girlfriend. I have just wondered whether she's real or not.
Well,
right. We'd love to have her out of the house, so she needs daylight, Jeff. So if it means coming to see us, we're all for it.
Hey, as the kids say today, bet.
You do?
Yes.
<Wow. laughs> Oh, that was awesome. That was way better than I would have thought. Oh. This has been great. My annoyance is with traveling on Thanksgiving. I have always had families that have been more than an hour away. And so we would go an hour and a half to my uncle and aunt's house. And so driving 90 minutes in the middle of Thanksgiving Day, you're missing football, you're stuck in traffic, it's just a disaster. You're waking up early knowing we got to get on the road. It's just a mess. And especially listening to football and Lions football on the radio, believe me, it's brutal enough to watch it. Listening to Lions football on the radio is just the worst Thanksgiving ever. So travel, and now my in-laws live more than 3 hours away. Thankfully, we're not traveling tomorrow, but in years past, we've had to do that. It's a brutality. It really beats you down. Hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, traveling house to house. Man, oh man, that ain't easy. So gobble on that. And my second annoyance is with one of my uncles who every Thanksgiving has a little bit too much wine and has to tell me about his girlfriend. Okay, I get it. All right, she's a little younger. All right, I get it. You're feeling a little frisky. You're in your 50s or 60s. And so, you know, but I don't need to hear that. I'm not interested in knowing what a 60-year-old guy wants. Hey, you know what? Over here on Saturday, we did this. Oh, you should see her. And I don't want to hear that. Nobody needs to hear that. And after a few glasses of wine, he always does. Hey, you should see. And I'm like, no, I'm out of here. Let me watch this awful Cowboys football game, okay? Get me out of this conversation. So that's a very specific annoyance. My guess is many of you don't have the same thing, but impolite, lack of decorum, improper conversations that happen over dinner because you only see these people once a year and they've had too much wine or beer, you know what? Gobble on that. Next year, I'm swapping him out for Malika.
Amen.
Some other things, annoyances coming into us from our listeners this morning on Thanksgiving. Jeffrey tweets, what annoys me about Thanksgiving, the relative who arrives late for the big family dinner, loads up on a ton of grub, and then leaves. Hashtag can't choose your family. Gobble on that. I agree. We all have that person, too, in the family. Shows up late, grabs the plate, might even take it to go. You're like, how am I related to this person? How am I related to this person? Mac and Bear tweets, DA, I've only got a few rules for Thanksgiving dinner. One, sit down. Two, no questions. Three, eat. Four, leave me alone. I'm watching football. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Big props to you and the crew. Gobble on that. I like that. Number two is perfect. No questions. Whatever is served, you eat. However it's served, you eat. Leave me alone. It's time to give gratitude, thanks, and appreciation by eating whatever I put in front of you and leaving me alone. Alien OG tweets, you guys get my day started on a positive vibe every morning. I'm thankful for you guys and the mothership and all the laughs that it brings. Even that weirdo Mraz. Just wanted to say thanks for the great show. Alien OG, You're welcome. Thanks for the loyalty. Let's gobble on that as well. You can send us your annoyances every single day. Or I should say, for every single Thanksgiving all day today. And I'll read through those over the course of this morning's show. Kind of like a Thanksgiving Trash Tuesday. With our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. These headlines are sponsored by Ace Hardware. There's nothing like Black Friday at Ace. This Friday only, visit acehardware.com to get your coupon for 50% off any item under $30 in-store or online. Don't miss it. See participating stores for details and exclusions. Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson, the first semifinal matchups from the College Football Playoff Committee, but obviously, with the Irish and Tigers destined for the ACC title game, at least one thing will change in the coming weeks. Texas A&M and Florida are the first two out of that Final Four. The Aggies' problem, though, is sitting behind Alabama in the SEC West, having already lost to the Tide. Number 7, Cincinnati leads the group of 5 schools. 9-0 BYU is only 14 thanks to a weak schedule, but they are plus 303 in scoring margin against that week's schedule. Like it or not, the NFL is serving Dallas, Washington on Thanksgiving. The football team has had issues with slow starts this season. Head coach Ron Rivera was asked yesterday for any tricks to fix that.
The biggest thing is we got to make plays when we got opportunities. If you look at the opportunities we've had in games to either get off the field as a defense or to put the ball in the end zone as an offense, that to me, I think is really the biggest deal more than anything else. I mean, you know, I could bring a sledgehammer and smash pumpkins.
Oh, really, Mike McCarthy? All right, now. I'll take it.
Wow. Okay, so this is becoming a common theme now. Mike McCarthy smashing watermelons. Let's smash pumpkins next.
Pound cake!
At the moment, we are still getting Ravens-Steelers tomorrow night. Baltimore expected to travel later today, although the possibility remains of them actually flying to Pittsburgh tomorrow morning. All of this because maybe 9-10 players and staff have tested positive for COVID-19 since Sunday. And the Chargers have designated running back Austin Eckler to return from IR. Maybe he plays this weekend. Eckler's been out since week 4 with a hamstring injury. One of our favorites from the baseball postseason appears to be in some real trouble in Mexico. Randy Arozarena detained for a possible domestic incident. Conflicting, incomplete reports coming out of Mexico since yesterday. Arozarena may have tried to take his daughter from her mother after a visit, and he may have fought the girl's grandfather in the process. Mexican law allows prosecutors to keep you in custody for 48 hours while they decide charges, if any, and that seems to be where we are now with Arozarena. The Rays have only said they are aware of the situation. The Miami Heat are giving Bam Adebayo a 5-year max extension. It's worth at least $163 million. However, it leaves them without the cap space to sign Giannis next offseason if he was to leave Milwaukee. And MLS playoffs, the top overall seed is done. The Philadelphia Union, a 2-0 home loss to New England. That came after Nashville surprised Toronto FC 1-0, and Seattle capped the night with a 3-1 home win over LAFC. And finally, one more stunned before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
DA, I take you to Utah's Red Rock Desert. It's in the southeastern part of the state. The place looks like Mars, not Utah, not America, not Earth. A wildlife crew was recently up in a helicopter doing a survey of bighorn sheep in the area when they noticed a tall, metallic, shiny object just standing alone in this desert. When they were done counting sheep, they landed the chopper and investigated. They found a single stainless steel three-sided object buried in the desert, standing 10 to 12 feet tall. There were no clues around as to how it got there or why. Maybe aliens, but no. Apparently, it was man-made. So the question now is, who made it? Why did they make it? Why did they drag it to the desert and leave it there? Because if you're going to do like a prank like this, I feel like you want someone to find it, and there's no guarantee that it was going to be found. This thing is so far into the desert, so remote an area, that officials won't even say where it is because they don't want people trying to get there to see it. and like getting stranded and lost in this desert on the way there. So it's a really intricate showpiece by someone just burying this huge tower of metal in this desert in Utah.
I am an alien believer. I believe in extraterrestrial life. And so I want a deeper dive on this coming up at the top of the hour, because I cannot just do this service with one or two pithy lines. We'll do that coming up at the top. This is an amazing story. We also have Super Dave's college football picks next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
Well, I'm just never going to pass up an opportunity to chant, "Let's go, P." Mississippi is just the pinnacle of college football right now, with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and Deion Sanders.
With your weekly college football picks.
I think about it because obviously on sale means you're getting a bargain, but I think I'd buy a racehorse first.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Super Dave is here. Unfortunately, he went 0-3 last week, but so did Mraz. And so Mraz is 17-16. Dave is 15-18-1. A big weekend by Super Dave vaults him ahead of Mraz. Super Dave, good morning. We begin in the ACC, where Notre Dame takes on UNC on the road. Notre Dame favored by 4.5. You like the Irish?
Yeah, this one seems too obvious. The Irish are only laying 4.5. I mean, there are four units in this game, right? Notre Dame offense is good. Notre Dame defense is elite. North Carolina offense is terrific. North Carolina defense stinks. I mean, they needed an incredible performance by Sam Howell to beat a good, not great Wake Forest team 2 weeks ago. 550 yards passing, 6 touchdowns. That was good for a come-from-behind victory. I just don't see how North Carolina can stop Notre Dame at all. Meanwhile, the Irish defense is solid. But did you know, DA, Mack Brown has never faced Notre Dame?
No. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, in the Big Ten, Northwestern and Michigan State. The Wildcats are rolling. They lead their side of the Big Ten. They're favored by 13 points in East Lansing. You like the Wildcats in a blowout.
Yeah, the only question is, can Northwestern score enough points to cover? And I think if they score 14, they might cover by one. Michigan State has scored 7 points since Halloween. This is an offense that is just incredibly, incredibly struggling. Now, Northwestern's offense is no good either, but their defense is terrific. I mean, they dominated a Wisconsin team averaging 47 points a game, 17-7 last week. Northwestern held a top 10 team to less than 7 points, or less than 8 points, a touchdown or less, for the first time since the 1960s. ESPN says Northwestern has the strongest strength of record in the country. And, you know, this is going to be ugly. It might not be a great game to watch, but I think it's 21-7, 21-10, 24-3 type game. Northwestern's got a ton to play for. Michigan State's just no good.
And finally, you're a Bay Area guy, so you know the Stanford and Cal rivalry well. It's the big game, 123rd meeting. Cal a slight favorite over Stanford by 1.5. You're going with the Bears.
I've been looking for a spot to pick Cal for the whole season. Now, they've only played 2 games. They're 0-2. Stanford's 0-2. Also, but Cal should get a mulligan for their first 2 games. Their first game of the year was played at 9 a.m. Pacific time on a Sunday after being rescheduled on Friday. They lost to UCLA and they played poorly. They ran out of gas. And game 2 against Oregon State, 3 offensive linemen out, and their center, one of the 2 returners that made the lineup, he got hurt in the opening quarter of the game. I just give them a mulligan. I thought Justin Wilcox did a terrific job last year when they were 8-5. They were 7-0 when Chase Garbers was healthy. And now they're playing a Stanford team that is very fair, middling. They were much better last week when Davis Mills, or 2 weeks ago when Davis Mills came back from an injury. But this is Cal's home opener. I just think they're better. I thought they were going to be pretty decent coming into the year. And I like the Golden Bears in this spot. But on a Thanksgiving, and we think about our memories and our favorite parts of sports, I think it's the unpredictableness the live drama, the real world stuff that we see. Is anything ever been better than the 1982 Cal Stanford game?
What a way to wrap it up. The Cal Stanford game where the band is on the field.
John Elway's final college game.
Super Dave. Okay, we gotta roll Super Dave. That's the perfect way to go out when we come back. Thanks for the picks. I break down the gift of gab last night at NFL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.